we have some things to cover with our next guest. I'm not going to badger him like earlier this week because I got some, how could you be so mean to Elliot?
He's such a good guy.
Why are, would you, is that how you treat people when they come over to your house? And you, it's like, Elliot likes it more than we do. He loves mixing it up. Anyway, first things first, how did we not get Kate Upton on the broadcast last night?
Wow.
I don't know. That's a Scott O question. I even tweeted at him during the game. How come you haven't interviewed Kate Upton yet? I mean, that's, if you remember his great interview with Snoop Dogg, Oki's really good at that stuff.
Yes.
So I'm betting there was a wall of publicists saying, not a chance.
You think she has an entourage, do you?
Oh, they all do.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's funny. Like, my wife used to be an entertainment TV producer, and she heard some of the questions that I was asking somebody once, and she looked at me and she said, if we ask those questions in the entertainment world, we'd never get interviews again. Like, it's you know, people who complain that athletes may be coddled or protected, whatever, they are light years ahead of entertainers in terms of what they put up with from us.
Secondly, many people, by way of Twitter or our text line, want me to take you to the woodshed on your not voting for John Gaudreau for Rookie of the Year.
Well, I did vote for him, just not in the number one position.
You son of a...
Yeah, we've gone through this. I'm honest about it. He was on my top three. He was actually second on my ballot. And, you know, I've been very clear about how brutal a vote this was this year for the Calder, but I voted for Ekblad first. I hope that some people in Calgary will take solace in the fact that I voted Sean Monahan first for the Lady Bing, and also he was on my Selke ballot.
Wow. Eastern bias.
He was a lot higher on my ballot than he was in a lot of others. I really, I just felt Ekblad deserved it. He's an 18-year-old defenseman. You know, I think that, you know, the fact he's in Florida, he gets hurt a little bit. But, you know, if you look at his numbers and you look at 18-year-old defensemen, they haven't done that before. And as good as Gaudreau is, and he's great, I felt Ekblad deserved the vote. That's all.
So you had Phaneuf for the Norris. You had Morgan Riley for the Lady Bing.
Yeah, I would have not expected from you, Elliot.
Shocked that you had Reimer for the Vezina. But, hey, you've been around.
You watch.
I try my best with my vote.
Yeah.
In all honesty, did the last 2 months of the year, I thought Gaudreau was much better than Ekblad. I thought Ekblad faded a little while Gaudreau transformed a couple guys. Well, I shouldn't say a couple guys. I mean, a journeyman in Yuri Hudler and a sophomore. That line became the best in the league. Did you have your mind made up early? Because I really thought the last 2 months were different.
I don't do that. I take the whole year into consideration. If I had my mind up early, and you know what? This is the thing. If you're going to argue that the voters had their minds made up early, Philip Forsberg would be winning the Calder.
Okay, I shouldn't say mind made up, but did you think Ekblad tailed off?
I know that there's a lot of people in Nashville and Nashville fans who are really angry. Like, if your Twitter fans are mad, you should see the Nashville guys and what they were writing to me.
What, all two of them?
Not pretty. It's a tough vote, but you know what? Like, you know what? The thing is that, look, it's interesting you say that, Ryan, talking about how great he made that line. And a journeyman and another young player. To me, the best player on that line is Sean Monahan. And that's not a shot at Gaudreau. I just think Monahan's a great player. I think that Monahan does not get enough credit for all the stuff he does. And I think one of the reasons the Flames had such a rough night last night was because Monahan had one of the toughest games I've ever seen him have. He was getting murdered in the faceoff zone. That line didn't give them anything. And again, this is not in any way had anything to do with my vote or non-vote of Gaudreau for the Calder, but the best player on that line is Sean Monahan.
Okay, well, give us your thoughts on last night. That's obviously what is the hot topic here. It was not a very good night for the Flames. How much of this was Vancouver really stepping up and taking over the game, and how much of it was just Calgary seemed to get a lead and want to protect it? They just didn't have that urgency that people have come to know about them.
Well, I think what happened last night is simply that they knew that they were going to get Vancouver's best game, and they did. You know, that's going to happen in a series. The Flames have played pretty well in this series. I thought they were really good in their two games in Calgary. when you have a team down 3-1, you know, your opponent's going to go one of either two ways. They're going to either quit and just say, okay, we're done, or they're going to say, you know what, I don't care how bad we are behind in this series. If we're going to go out, we're going to go out at our best. And Vancouver chose option B. You know, they were really good last night. They were by far the better team. They even overcame the Kennens for the second straight game, took a dumb early penalty, and they really could have been buried, but they got out of that. You know, the one thing that really struck me differently, too, about Vancouver is that Desjardins, who's been very rote in his line usage during the season, or the series and the season, I guess, really changed. You know, in the third period on the winning goal, you know, the Sedins got, they started the period, they played 29 seconds, then he put the Horvat line out, and then he put the Benino line out, and when they got the icing, by the way he's kind of doing things, you would have expected the Richardson line out. But he went right back to the Sedins, and they scored the winning goal. And, you know, if he's going to change the way he coaches and adjust, which, you know, he should do, that's going to make the series a bit harder for Calgary. I wouldn't panic too much if I was a Flames fan. You're going to have ebbs and flows in the series. The best line I heard about the Calgary Flames in the playoffs is that they're too naive to know the pressure. That came from somebody on another team. And I look at them and I say, does that change at all on Saturday night? And on a game six at home against a more experienced team, are they going to play differently? I would suspect they don't. They've had their backs to the wall a lot of the year. The crowd will be crazy in favor of them. You know, I don't think there's too much reason to panic there. We'll see, though, tomorrow night.
What do you make of that? Now again, you talked about the tough night last night for Monahan. The line has not been really all that strong throughout this series. Mm-hmm. If you are Bob Hartley, what do you do? Do you just let them work their way through it? Do you try and move some pieces around? Because now you don't want to start throwing away games, because it's going to get real here if you don't win on Saturday.
Well, I think you go back to them and see how they do. And then if you have to make the change, then you make it later in the game. I mean, if you look at some of the other lines, you know, the Colburn line has been really good. You know, do you want to break that up? Like, you look at some of your other lines that have been strong. If you change one, you probably change two or three of them, if not all four. And then you start to wonder, am I disrupting too much chemistry? You know, I think it all depends on how hurt Monahan really is or isn't. You know, he's been a bit quieter in these playoffs. And that's why I do think that he is, like I say, I think he's the most important member of the line, the guy who makes it go, the best defensive conscience. And, yeah, I mean, only Hartley or some of the other Flames really know, you know, what the answer to that question is. You know, if it was me, I'd probably start out the same, see how they're going, see how the game's going, and if I have to move guys around, I would do it then. But that line and that entire group all year have proven to be very resilient. And, you know, I think the other thing too, Dean, and this is why I was so impressed by what Babcock said after the game last night, I think a team takes its cues from the head coach, especially a young team. If the head coach prepares for a game the same way he prepared for every other game before this year, the players are calm. But if the coach starts, you know, really like looking a bit frazzled or changing things or alters things in any way, especially a young team, you look at it and you say, oh, okay, there's something going on here. So if I'm Bob Hartley and I'm the Flames, even though this is such an enormous game tomorrow night, I'm trying to treat it no differently than all the other ones we've been successful in.
What happened in Detroit? I mean, I can't decide if I'm more shocked that Detroit was up 2-0 looking to take a 3-1 lead, or the fact that they blew it.
They blew it. There's no question. I mean, Kipper really felt that when Glendening ran over Tyler Johnson, it kind of energized the Lightning a bit and woke them up. You know, Glendening had to leave the game after that because he got cut by a skate. And both coaches felt that was a huge moment because his line had really been terrorizing the Lightning. You know, it happens, right? Like, you play 55 minutes and you step your foot off the gas and the other team just creams you. And I really thought Detroit would be okay in overtime. You know, they've got so many guys who've seen everything there, including the head coach. they'd get back to the room, they'd say, oh, okay, well, we blew this one, but we've got time to win it. But on the first shift of overtime, Mrazek overplayed a puck so bad that he was almost in the corner. Like, you know, Kelly was looking at it with his eyes wide open. And that's when you kind of realize that that was the first time I looked at him in the playoffs and said, there's a 23-year-old who's feeling it right now. And moments later, they scored. So I thought Detroit's experience would be enough to calm it down. But then I remembered they're not very experienced at the most important position.
Peter Chiarelli going to be introduced in Edmonton today. What's your understanding on what his role will be? And then what's the next domino to fall? Is this, does this mean curtains for Craig McTavish? What does it mean for Kevin Lowe? And who is the smart money on then for their head coach?
Well, a year ago, I reported that Kevin Lowe had offered to resign and to get rid of some of the heat, and Daryl Cates had refused to accept it, the owner of the Oilers. So I'm thinking that if this is the time for Kevin Lowe, or he's moved into a smaller role, he's prepared for that. I don't know the exact title, but Chiarelli's going to be the president of hockey operations or something like that. You know, it's going to go owner Nicholson Chiarelli on the hockey side. You know, Peter Chiarelli, after some of the battles he had with Cam Neely last year in Boston, he's not going to Edmonton unless he has a lot of control, and I would expect to get it. You know, as for the rest of the hockey side, look, there were so many rumors flying last night. I couldn't get any of them confirmed. A lot of the guys I talked to went dark. They're really trying to hold this. In an hour, they're having a conference call with all their staff in Edmonton to let them know what the changes are going to be. I suspect it would leak out shortly after that. But, you know, Craig McTavish was supposed to be in Switzerland this weekend for the under-18 championship, and he flew back early. You know, I think there's the potential for a lot of upheaval, though I can't say that for sure.
Could this be on a Toronto level when you talk about their track record with player development, scouting, drafting outside the first round, and all the other guys they already have in upper management before adding Chiarelli?
I would say, Ryan, the possibility is there, but I don't know that for sure either. I mean, you know, it's clear, though, that like Brendan Shanahan in Toronto, I think that's a good comparison. Bob Nicholson was biding his time and waiting before he decided to make his decisions. Like I said, I think there's the possibility of that, but, you know, people's lives are at stake here, and I don't like to guess until I know for sure.
All right, sir. Well, between your Sox, not voting for Gaudreau, and all of this, you have Calgary up in arms, so
lottery.
I just hope you know that.
Well, you know what? That would be three Canadian cities that hate me right now. So I'm going for the lucky seven. What can I do?
Only three. Well, good work. We'll talk to you Monday. Have a good weekend, buddy.
All right, guys. Have yourselves a great weekend.